Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Monday, the 17th day of June, year of our Lord, 2019, welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, we've been beginning our shows with the Pledge of Allegiance, so here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our purpose of the day, I want to encourage all of you to get your spiritual house in order, whatever that is for you. The times that are ahead of us, you will find that's probably the most important thing, the single most important thing you can do for yourself and your family. And last but not least, our Caribbean cruise, if you want to go with us, you need to get all signed up, get everything taken care of in 17 days. That's right, 17 days to get signed up, get your money in, get all squared away for the Caribbean cruise. Contact Betsy Murphy if you want to go at 636-530-9502. This is Farmers Monday. Our special guest on Farmers Monday is my friend Sam Andrews, the proprietor of Freedom Center USA. That Facebook page is Freedom Center USA before it gets deplatformed. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Really good, sir. Earlier this morning, I was telling you that I finally just stopped trying to convince guys that you can actually hear a bullet coming at you once it goes subsonic, which I first found out during the Tet Offensive. I heard a bullet coming at me, and it gave me probably a tenth of a second long enough to duck down behind a concrete wall I was behind. And I heard that thing hit, and I thought, man, it must have hit the wall right in front of me. So I leaned over the wall, lost one of my magazines out of my flak jacket onto the roof below me. I didn't see the bullet, so I looked behind me, and there it was buried in the concrete wall behind me. So, Sam, you did in fact confirm that once a projectile, once a bullet goes subsonic, you can in fact hear it coming right at you, can you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we use the speed of sound in our sniper training to train snipers about the distance of the shooter. So when a bullet's going supersonic, that means that it's actually above the speed of sound, which is typically around 1,100 feet per second, depending on the air temperature and the humidity of the air. The relative air density will determine the exact speed of sound. So it could be as fast as 1,150 feet per second on a really hot day, or the speed of sound could be as low as 1,060 feet per second on a cold day. And that's why, by the way, our firearms tip of the day, if you're loading subsonic ammo, make sure you're below 1,050 so you don't get a supersonic crack on a cold day. We'll kill two birds with one stone right there. But if the bullet is traveling below the speed of sound, the sound that the bullet makes tumbling through the air, which is usually what they do if they start supersonic, bullets usually tumble after they go through the transition from supersonic to subsonic, but they'll make a buzz or a hum as they go by, rather than a supersonic crack, which is what you normally hear from a rifle bullet that's traveling above the speed of sound. But when a bullet's traveling below the speed of sound, let's say 700 feet per second, that would give you about 3/10 of a second to duck from the time you can hear it coming your way.
And don't fool yourself. A chunk of lead going 700 or 800 feet per second will bury itself in concrete about an inch deep, because I've seen it happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially a rifle bullet. And some bullets can actually fly, spin stabilized through the transition. We've had bullets, the same exact gun, same barrel, same ammo, same velocity. We've had bullets that, in our testing, that have flown spin stabilized through the transition 30% of the time or 25% of the time. And so it's a very unpredictable thing when the shock waves go over the ogive of the bullet and come off the tail of the bullet as it flies, as to whether it keeps its spin stability or it doesn't. Now, we've also designed bullets that fly through the transition from supersonic to subsonic every time, and that was a lot of work to figure out how to do that. But it's a very random situation with a normal bullet that hasn't had specific engineering applied to it.
Well, when you start out subsonic to begin with, where it never has been above the speed of sound, that creates a very stable projectile, doesn't it?
Exactly. Once the bullet's fired subsonic and it is spin stabilized, okay, the spin stability actually climbs with distance, because it loses velocity at a higher rate than it loses RPM. And so if your gyroscopic stability factor is, say, 2.0 when the bullet leaves the muzzle, at 500 yards, your gyroscopic stability factor might be 3.1. In other words, it's more stable than it was when it left the barrel.
Well, I've noticed for years, Sam, that let's just going back to target to a 22 long rifle, that the Olympic grade stuff, the really expensive, the most accurate 22 long rifle, is shooting slower than just about everything else close to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot easier at close range, say 100 yards or less, to make a bullet fly extremely accurately than it is to make a long-range bullet that's at high speed with lots of pressure and 240,000 RPM, which is what these big long-range bullets can spin at. It's much harder to make that fly straight.
I remember walking into your shop during the dark, dark days of the Obama administration when you could not buy a 22 long rifle hardly anywhere. But your shelves were stocked with Olympic grade 22 long rifle. I looked at it, I looked at you, and I thought, no, I don't need it quite that bad. It was expensive stuff,
well,
wasn't it?
it's a lot more. I mean, I think Ely and Federal, and they make gold medal and 10X type products that are used for Olympic shooters in the Anschutz type rifles. And they can. I think I've seen them as high as $25 for a box of 50. If you can imagine that, when Walmart, you used to be able to get 500 for $3.23.
Amazing. Well, Sam, we got a complex question here from one of our listeners. We'll get started on Mike in Alabama. And he has a question regarding a recent event. He was at a Appleseed event down there in Talladega, Alabama. So we'll begin with the beginning. There were known distance shooting at 100, 200, 300, and 600 yards. His equipment is an AR-15 in a 5.56 caliber. He says he cleaned it spick and span with Sweet 7.62 and Mobile 1. He had Federal Match Grade 55 grain ammo. His optics, a ACCS, primary arm scope, 1 to 6 power, with an ACCS, it's Alpha Charlie Sierra Sierra reticle. He says the scope was tight all the way through, and he broke in the barrel according to manufacturer's specific instructions with no wind that day. So, first round, which he doesn't say, but I presume it's at 100 yards. We don't know. He says point of impact equals point of aim. He says he's excited. By the fifth round, he's shooting 3 inches left to hit center of target at 300 and 600 yards. So here's his question. What happened? He's asking, is it a copper buildup in the barrel? Is it a cold bore? Is a cold bore point of impact different than hot bore point of impact? Which, of course, it is. He wants to know the possible causes of point of impact drift. That's his question.
Okay. Well, let's go over them. So you have a couple of things in the mix here. And so without being there and without looking at the gun and looking at the scope, it's hard for me to tell him exactly why he was. And you said he was left, he wasn't right. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, 3 inches, 3 mm angle left. Yeah, 3 MOA left of center of target.
Okay, so if his rifle is lined up, the scope is vertically above the barrel. In other words, the center line of the scope is directly above the barrel. What typically happens at 600 yards is your bullet will be about 2 to 3 inches to the right in a no-win situation if it's dead on at 100. This is a gyroscopic precession effect called yaw of repose. Some of the long-range shooters on the internet call it spin drift. And that's really a misnomer. It's not really a drift function, but it's actually a gyroscopic precession effect called yaw of repose. It's not an aerodynamic effect. Okay, so if you have in North America, most of our rifle barrels are right-hand twist barrels, which means that the bullet is going to drift to the right as the bullet flies. At 1,000 yards, the effect is usually between 5 and 7 inches if you have a perfect zero at 100 yards. Now, he was hitting left. So we know that yaw of repose was not the reason for the bullet drifting. Okay. Now at 300 yards, did you say he was 3 inches left or 3 MOA left?
Three MOA. I said I misspoke myself. 3 MOA, not 3 inches. 3 MOA, right?
Yeah. 3 MOA is over 9 inches at 300 yards, and in a zero win situation. I can hardly say that that's possible. So now we're down to we've narrowed it down to a couple of things. It's not yaw of repose, obviously, because it's the wrong direction. It's not the wind causing the bullet to drift, because he claims there was zero wind at the time of the shot.
Zero
so
value.
Now we're down.
Well, it says zero value, yeah. Which means it could be straight at him or straight behind him.
Sure. So now we're down to mechanical and metallurgical causes. So what I would bet money on is that the scope that he has is not up to par, and that the erector tube assembly inside the scope and the spring are not letting the erector tube go back to its setting after each recoil impulse from each shot. Now, the other thing that it could be It could be parallax error in the scope. Since he only had a 1-6 power scope, I would bet money that he doesn't have a parallax minimization knob on a scope with that low a power. And if you don't get your eye in the center of the lens group on an optic, you can get some pretty big errors at 300 yards. Now, the third thing that it could be is it could be stress in the barrel. So as the barrel warms up, if he has a hammer-forged barrel that was not properly stress-relieved, then as it warms up, it'll start to curve and point into a different direction. And that certainly could cause the problem as well. But I bet most of it is in the optic. Now, of course, it could be a series of these things stacked on top of each other. He could have a little parallax error. He could have a little bit of stress in the barrel. It wasn't stress relieved properly. There could be just a tiny bit of wind adding to that that he didn't notice. The erector tube assembly could be bouncing around a little bit. But I would suspect that most of it is the scope, because that's a large error. Stress in a barrel might cause a minute and a half, typically not 3 minutes at 300 yards. And so I suspect there's definitely something else in the mix, and it's almost always the scope. That's the thing that most people don't realize, is when you're having problems like shots being really far off or really, it's almost always the scope. It's almost never the rifle or the ammunition.
The manufacturer Primary Arms, I'm not familiar with that company. Do you have any knowledge about them?
They're a low grade, manufacturer of AR-15s. They don't produce super accurate guns or anything.
The scope is Primary Arms.
The scope is Primary Arms.
That's what it says.
Now, who did you say made the gun?
That's not listed here.
They're not listed here. Well, Primary Arms, I've never tested their scopes.
Okay.
So I don't have a. I don't have.
Okay.
I don't have
a something I never heard of them one way or the other. So I don't have any way to comment on them.
Let's talk about how he figures out if it's the scope real quickly, since we're on the subject. All he has to do is shoot a square test at 100 yards.
Right.
And a square test is you shoot in the center of the target, dial left 4 minutes, and up 4 minutes, take a second shot, dial 8 minutes right, take a third shot, dial 8 minutes down, take a fourth shot, dial 8 minutes left, take a fifth shot, dial 4 minutes right, 4 minutes up, and put the last bullet in the same hole as the first one. He should have, at 100 yards, an 8-inch square that looks like a 5 on a dice head. If he doesn't have a square target, then he's got a problem with his scope.
Well, that's a simple test, and everybody should be aware of this test and be able to carry out that test themselves, shouldn't they?
Yeah, if you've got a reasonably accurate gun and reasonably accurate ammo, you should be able to do this at 50 yards or 100 yards and know that your optics are working properly.
Well, it's simple, and I know that we've seen this a lot. What these men do for the deer hunters with these centerfire rifles, they wait until 8 weeks before deer season, and they all come in at once with their deer rifles, requesting the gunsmith get them fixed in the next 8 weeks. And again, of course, the gunsmith is covered up and can't get it done, can they?
No, you don't ever want to wait till the last minute. You know, I've had guys come in on Friday night, the night before deer season, and say, "Can you mount this and bore sight it for me? I've got to go deer hunting tomorrow."
Really? it's like picking up a hot dog at the quick shop, right?
Well, I remember one year in Eureka where I had 14 people lined up on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, all wanting me to mount scopes and bore sight their gun before deer season,
which was started at dawn the following morning.
Yeah, 0700 the next day. And they're in my shop at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with a rifle they've never shot, a scope they just bought, saying, "Can you put this on a bore sighted so I can go hunting tomorrow?"
Yeah, baby. Okay, we have a break. Call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
foreclosed song?
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is J.R. Moore. I want to talk to you for a moment about my sponsor, GoldWealthFinancial.com, and investing in gold and silver. Gold and silver coin investing is considered a safe investment because of its physicality. For this reason, it's where many institutional investors put their money when signs of an economic downturn strike. In most stock market crashes and corrections, the prices of gold and silver rise steeply, while stocks and other exchange-traded funds plummet. At my website at thelibertyman.com, you'll find a link to goldwealthfinancial.com. You need to check them out. It's a great website, great people to work with, and they have a telephone number. That telephone number is 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Check them out, do your research, and give them a call. Thank you.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 17th of June. We're going on a cruise. You got 17 days to make your mind up and get all squared away with our cruise director, Betsy Murphy. Give Betsy a call if you want to go with us. The details are at my website at thelibertyman.com. Betsy Murphy's telephone number is 636-530-9502. I say again, 636-530-9502. If you want to get the free books that Steve Hunt is offering, just click on that red box on my homepage, and you'll get Steve's information to contact him and get the excellent booklets that he's offering regarding gold and silver coins. This is Farmers Monday. We're visiting with Sam Andrews, the proprietor of Freedom Center USA, the telephone down there in Lebanon, Missouri, beautiful Lebanon, Missouri, beautiful part of the country, my part of the country. That telephone number is 417-718-2597. Sam, we got a caller on hold here. We got Fred in Wisconsin. Morning, Fred.
Morning, guys. I just not to change the subject too much, but I'm curious about shotguns. I like the old Model 97s, and I shoot 2 3/4. When I'm playing, I'm using deer slugs and double-aught buck. I was wondering if Sam could give me an idea on mixing those rounds in a situation where it appears to me that, you know, the deer slug goes further. Can you give me, enlighten me at all on using 2 3/4 double odd versus deer slug?
Okay, so let's say you were deer hunting and you wanted to kill a deer with double odd buck. You're pretty much going to be limited to around 100 yards.
Okay.
Where a deer slug fired from a 2 3/4 inch shotgun, if it's spin stabilized, you would easily have the energy to kill a deer at 250 yards. Now, your trajectory is going to be fairly loopy at that range. You're going to have a lot of projectile drop from gravity. So it's not an easy shot with a slug and a shotgun at 250 yards on a deer. But is it possible? Yeah, it's absolutely possible. But if you're talking about the terminal effect, I think the buckshot, you're going to be limited. You're going to be limited to about 80 to 100 yards. And with the slug, you could probably reach out to 200, 250 and still have enough energy. The question is, do you have the accuracy?
Another question is I've talked to some people in home defense scenarios, and with something like this, I'm calling barn defense. But I've been told that a lot of guys want to use number 4 versus double aught buck in a scenario like that. Can you comment on that?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is this: do you have other people in your home? Because okay, when you're talking about home defense, what you're, you know, a rifle, a shotgun, you know, a big handgun, any of those things can kill a person and help you defend your home. The question is, what's going to happen if you miss? Is it going through right, two walls and killing someone in your neighbor's house? Or is it going to get stopped by a wall and break up after one or two impacts into walls or studs? You know, and so you're really looking at the post-terminal effect if you miss. And for me, I no longer recommend shotguns for home defense, and we can get into the reasons why if you like. But I would much rather have a number 4 shot or number 2 shot and a really open choke for home defense than I would a slug or buckshot, because particularly if you have the slug can go a long way. The buckshot, if it goes through a window, it can go through a window of your neighbor's home and kill an innocent person. You know, I'm not really into that sort of thing. So, but the biggest reason I don't recommend shotguns for home defense is simply because the recoil recovery time is so long relative to something like a semi-auto AR with a very frangible bullet, and you can't carry as many rounds. The days of the lone burglar are gone. If somebody wants to get in your home, it's going to be 5 to 7 people, if not 50 people. And so having an AR-15 with a 30-round magazine and a very frangible bullet is a much handier tool to a person who knows how to use it than a guy with a shotgun and a 5-round tube.
And, yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense in terms of capacity, for sure.
But a shotgun's a very effective weapon for one or two people trying to get in a house. If you want to defend a home against one or two people, a shotgun will work extremely well. The question is that really what's going on?
Right. Let me ask you this, because this, I'm always getting confused on an ATF rule. When they're talking about barrel lengths, let's use a shotgun, for instance.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Fred, we'll start over again after the break. So long, Fred. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Monday. It is Monday, the 17th of June. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Now, smartphone compatible. Thank goodness. That was a challenge. Interesting things there. I'm actively recruiting. I've got one open position open right now for people doing marketing. These are part-time paid positions to do marketing for me, to market John Moore for speaking engagements. Right next to that, the notice for our Caribbean cruise. It will be a lot of fun. All the details are right there. You've got 17 days to get signed up. And, of course, if you're interested in geopolitical matters, a friend of mine I met on a homicide investigation I was working, a former counterintelligence agent, he puts these together pretty much every day of the week, dozens and dozens of articles to get up to speed on geopolitical matters. Last but not least, if you have arthritis pain, joint pain, maybe recovering from surgery and dealing with some pain issues, that's where the Energy Cleaner comes in. $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. The mattress pads that go with it, well, they do vary in price, depending on what you want. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I ship these all over the country, all over the world. A lot of these go to Australia, by the way, and a few to New Zealand occasionally. All the details are right there at my website. You can make your order, place your order, or you can call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Sam Andrews, the proprietor of Freedom Center USA, the Facebook page. It's Freedom Center USA. Telephone number down there if you want to get some high-grade, professional-grade training or get a firearm or get related items. Give Sam a call at 417-718-2597. Now, before the break, we had Fred in Wisconsin was beginning a whole new question here. So, Fred, begin your question from the beginning so people can get up to speed here.
Okay, so this is in reference to an ATF ruling about barrel length. And I've actually had a chance to talk to a couple of these people. It's strange the answers you get. But use a shotgun. So they're saying 18.5-inch barrel length. Are they talking from the brass end of the chamber or the opposite end of the chamber adding 18.5 inches?
Sam, I've dealt with this with some lawyers, and let me answer, and then I'll have you give some follow-up. I saw a man, I've seen this happen, Fred. One of the attorneys I work with, he was on the way to court to defend a man who was charged with having a shotgun that the barrel was less than 18.5 inches long without the proper registration and transfer tax. It turned out, to make a long story short, the police and the prosecuting attorney in this jurisdiction did not know how to measure the barrel of a shotgun, which you measure the barrel of a shotgun from the face of the breech bolt to the end of the barrel. That's how it's measured. And the police didn't do that. They measured it with a live round in the chamber, which, of course, made it 2 3/4 inches shorter than it should have been. And these days, you can now buy over-the-counter, and Sam will sell you one of these, shotguns that are legally pistols that have, what, Sam, a 12-inch barrel on these things?
Sure, yeah, John's exactly right. The proper way to measure a barrel length per ATF regulations is to remove the magazine, empty any source of ammunition, empty the chamber, put the gun into battery, drop a rod down the barrel from the muzzle end till it butts up against the bottom of the bolt face, mark the rod, pull the rod out, and measure the length of the rod to the mark with the gun in battery. And so to answer your question, it's the brass end, not the other end.
Yeah, it's goofy because I did some stuff with in my past that involved ATF. And I would ask the question, just say, hey, guys, what happens here? Because I had friends of mine who were doing stagecoach guns. They were buying old double barrels and cutting them off. And I was saying, make sure the length of these things, But, yeah, I really appreciate that, Sam, because I've learned after, this show has been the greatest help for me ever. John does a great job, but, man, when he brought you on, I just won the lottery, man. So, Thank you for everything you guys do, and you have a good day.
Thank you, Fred. Sam, I found it so ironic that it took 80 years for Remington, Mossberg, Winchester to figure out how to sell these shotguns with short barrels with no paperwork. We got some pretty bright men and women in these organizations and for legal counsel, and I find it kind of funny and ironic that it took them 80 years to figure that out, don't you?
Yeah, well, not everything in the world's a coincidence. I find it ironic that people send their money to the NRA because they're a gun control organization masquerading as a gun rights organization, but it happens every day.
Yeah, well, 1968 really told the tale. We had the NRA backing the implementation of the 1938 Nazi gun laws, which they still do on the streets of America. I belonged to, at one time, a professional organization, Sam, that the local BATF station chief was a member of it, and one afternoon he invited me to his office, and we're sitting there having coffee and we're talking about different things, and I said, you do know that the 1968 Gun Control Act is a word-for-word English translation of 1938 Nazi gun laws, don't you? And he changed the topic and deflected my question. So I asked it a second time. He deflected a second time. The third time, he got kind of angry, and he said, yes, I know, so what? And that pretty much ended our friendship at that point. But the organization named Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, their researchers found where the senator up in Connecticut had requested, and that senator, by the way, had been part of the war tribunal went on in Nuremberg in Germany at the end of the war, an English translation of 1938 Nazi gun laws, which this senator took and was very slight, and I mean very minor, modifications, made that the 1968 Gun Control Act, which is, 51 years ago, and it's been the law of the land ever since, the 1938 Nazi gun laws being enforced on the streets of America, right, Sam?
By an organization that has no enumerated power in the Constitution to do what they're doing. So, hey, before we get too far away from the shotgun question, Let's talk about the reasons why I don't favor shotguns anymore in a home defense situation. And I qualify these statements with, if you have one person trying to get in your home, a shotgun will work just fine. Okay, but the main reason we don't prefer shotguns anymore, I'm going to list off the reasons why, is because if you have multiple adversaries trying to get in your home, recoil recovery time becomes an issue. It's difficult to suppress a shotgun. That's reason number two, okay? Reason number three, if you wind up having to use a shotgun in multiple target scenarios, it's highly chance that you're rushed for time and you might miss, and you can have projectiles leave your home and hurt innocent people. And you know, the fourth reason you don't want to use a shotgun for home defense is that's what Joe Biden recommends.
Well, there's two big caveats here. In my neighborhood, we have a very liberal family, Obama supporters, and the husband is early to mid 70s, never owned a firearm in his life up until about a year ago. His wife, I'm not sure she ever touched a firearm in her life, but he decided that it was time to have some home defense. So he bought he bought some kind of shotgun. But the common misnomer, especially among the uninitiated, is just point it kind of sort of in a general direction, and you will hit what you want to hit without having to have any precise aiming of this shotgun. That's the first misnomer. The second one is the sound of a shotgun being racked will make the criminal pee in his pants, basically, that they're so fearful once they've heard this shotgun being racked. Would you address those two misnomers there, please, Sam?
Sure. So a shotgun spreads more the further you get away from the muzzle. Even with an open choke, at the distances, if you're room to room or down a short hallway, you're still not going to get a lot of spread, even with an open choke. And so you do have to aim the shotgun. You know, that is sort of a myth, particularly inside a home where you might be shooting 15 to 25 feet at the most. And so that's one thing. The second thing is, racking a shotgun, and we're speaking specifically about a pump shotgun, the most popular being probably the Remington 870 or the Mossberg 500 pumps, that sound doesn't make people pee. Okay, now, is there a certain culture where if you're outdoors in a crowd and you rack a shotgun, does it have an effect on the behavior of the people? sure, there are environments like that, but someone sneaking in your home may or may not care, and they might be on drugs. You know, so
might be, might be, might be, might be. It's going to be a combination of drugs and alcohol, but what you're giving up a tactical advantage by letting them know where you are when you rack that shotgun.
That's absolutely right. I mean, why make any noise at all? You know, Mark Karachi, who's a Navy SEAL, he's retired now. He did 25 years in Naval Special Operations. He had a really good saying about situations like that. He said, weapons are designed to be felt, never seen nor heard. In other words, the first indication that anyone should have that you have a weapon on you is after you hit them with a projectile.
So some of my buddies in Vietnam, my African-American buddies in my unit, they thought that they had the neatest things to slice bread when they loaded their M14 mag with all tracer ammunition. They thought, boy, I'm set to go now.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I'm serious. Yeah. I am serious. I just shook my head and walked away because you can't fix stupid, you know? You can't fix stupid.
Well, no, it's interesting that you talk about noise, but the whole reason the forward assist was requested by Studies and Observation Group in Vietnam to be put onto the M16 was so that they could charge their weapons quietly in an ambush situation. In other words, they didn't want the opponent to know where they were or to hear anything. They wanted to be able to put around in the chamber very, very quietly. That is the true reason for the forward assist on the M16.
That's for the SOG guys who actually carried an M16 as opposed to an AK.
Well, you know, the reason they didn't carry the M16 originally, they preferred the AK, was A, the terminal performance of the round was better in the AK, and two, the M16 had specific disadvantages. You know, it didn't have a forward assist. You know, it didn't have very good accuracy. It jammed up in that environment when it got the least bit dirty. The ammo put out huge flash and gave their position away. I mean, there were a whole bunch of disadvantages that a lot of them got addressed over time, but the ballistic performance never really did get fixed.
A buddy of mine with 5th Group, he got hit in the abdomen by an AK round. He says, this is a full, you know, a healthy, full-size adult male. He says, John, that round just picked me up and spun me around and put me down. It was so powerful.
Well, there is quite a bit more energy in an AK round at close range than there is in the older ammunition that was used in the 1960s for the M16.
There was a Marine Corps company commander in Vietnam who would not bring his men in from the field. He would not bring them in because they had M14s, and he knew that once they got back to base camp, they would all have their M14s taken from them and be issued M16s because he wanted his guys to live, and he simply would not come back in from the field.
You know, I didn't know that. That's a fascinating story. Good for him.
Yeah, I say good for him also. Well, there's lots to learn. Now, I still like the 12-gauge shotgun myself. The odds of a home invasion being more than two, usually three is about the max here in this country. But in South Africa, I was being recruited the summer of 2001 by Colonel Dutoit to be his intelligence officer for his company that had contract with these farmers that when they were being attacked, they would call Colonel Dutoit and a helicopter response would bring armed men in. But these ranchers and farmers in South Africa are frequently attacked by 10, 12, 30 men, all armed with machetes and whatever weapons they can get their hands on. And in that case, you would certainly need a 30 caliber semi-automatic rifle, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You know, I've had several South Africans that immigrated to the United States come into my shop and ask me to build them custom AR-15s with suppressors. And, you know, I was a little bit surprised when they came in and asked the question. And I said, okay, what are you going to use this for? And they say home defense. And I said, well, that's a fascinating thing. And they said, why? Is there a better choice? And I said, no, you're fine. I'm just curious why the M16 or the AR-15 in a suppressed form. And both of them were engineers. One worked for the Defense Mapping Agency. The other one worked for Boeing. And both guys told me the exact same story almost. They said, well, when I was a little boy during apartheid, we had 40 to 60 men try to get in our home. And my father had a semi-auto rifle with preloaded magazines. And he killed a bunch of those guys and protected us and snuck us out in the dark of night. And one family immigrated to Toronto, Canada, the other one somewhere in England. And both sons wound up as engineers working in St. Louis, Missouri. But they both told the same story. Neither one of them knew each other. And they both said that my neighbors with shotguns and pistols were all killed, but my dad had a semi-auto rifle, and he kept us alive.
Good for dear old dad. Good for dear old dad. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Monday. It is Monday the 17th, and it is Firearms Monday, visiting with Sam Andrews. Sam, when I was working with Colonel Detroit to become his intelligence officer, we were negotiating that summer. I was also negotiating with Judicial Watch to manage our new St. Louis office that summer as well. It was an exciting summer for me, to say the least, with a lot of opportunities. But Colonel Detroit had helicopters with armed response for these ranchers and farmers in South Africa. That was a contract, a private security, just like kind of a private guard service, I guess you could say, that when they were under attack, they would radio Colonel Detroit's company, and they would send their helicopters with an armed response to repel the invading communists. And the African National Congress, of course, is a communist organization. All command and control and all theory and all backing, financial backing for the ANC was and is communist. But it got to the point where the government could no longer protect the people there in South Africa, and the private sector had to fill in the gaps. That's where Colonel Detroit came in. I kind of lost track with Colonel Detroit. I don't know whatever happened to him and his company. But we make it to the point in this country where we have similar things have to take place here, couldn't we?
Well, we've already had a similar situation in Ferguson where the government had absolutely no ability to protect the people. They couldn't defend a 2-square-mile area with 800 men because of the political decisions made and the decisions made by the tactical commanders. Their only task was to protect the infrastructure, the firehouse, the police station, city hall, and the sub-power station. The people were completely exposed, completely vulnerable, and had no protection at all.
Absolutely. Well, and you were the tactical commander of the men that were up there, I know. And everything that your men protected remained protected, and the photographs still exist of the black business owners smiling and embracing the men that were with you to protect their property and their livelihoods. Those photographs still exist, don't they?
Oh, yeah, and plenty of video as well. I mean, you know, the people were so happy we were there because they know that their businesses would have been burnt to the ground, their apartments, their homes would have been burnt to the ground if we hadn't been there with men on the roof, with buckets of water. We took the flares and threw them into buckets so they didn't light the tar roofs on fire, and we took the Molotovs and we
Molotov cocktails and flares in the hands of these George Soros rioters?
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw the story that came out, but it came out publicly yesterday on the Daily Wire that the Soros had paid $33 million to structure these riots in Ferguson. $33 million from his own pocket.
What a guy. We got a break. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.